Will he be here today? Will he not be here today? Who knows?
CKLN FM 88.1 in Toronto, and welcome back, J.R. Bob Dobbs, to this weekly session of the Church of the Subgenius, this cleansing, this relaxation process.
Yes, it was a great week. So, a lot accomplished last week.
Last week, a week ago at this very time, in fact, I was staring across at a vacant studio. You weren't here, and yet you were here. You made that call. Do you want to talk a little bit about where you were and what you were doing, again, just to recapitulate?
Yes. I have to do some explanations. First of all, what we just heard was the first song, Primer Mia Carucha, from Uncle Meat, one of those Zappa albums. That was a celebration by my broker, Ian Arlett, and a few subgenii were celebrating the share receipts they got the past couple of weeks as a result of Pink Monday. They made millions because they were associated with me. So they were kind of celebrating, and they sent that memo to me. I wasn't there for that celebration. But you could see the mood of creativity they're feeling, you know. They want to sing. They want to play the piano. You know, that's what subgenii do when they feel good, you know. They just grab an instrument, and then just start plucking away
and
chanting the mantra.
Yeah.
And the
what was the second message?
The second message is the result of my correspondence course. That was a input from Colorado. The Eldoran People's Republic. I'm not sure what his name is, who that guy was, but it was left at my secretary's office, that message. And it seems that he's been infected with the Guinea Bob pink disease. He wants more tapes. I mean, he's not waiting. Can't wait for the weekly installment on the radio. So that's a sign of the impatience that someone who's interested in the church activity on air gets into. It's just an early symptom. He'll wear down once we send a few more tapes, but in a very measured pace, because the Gimme Bob is a very dangerous phase.
Like an addict, one who can never get his or her fix.
Once they get the first fix.
Of course.
Mr. Fix-It.
Let's talk about last week and what you were doing, and did anything ever come of the meeting?
Well, we have an announcement to make. I'm pretty sure that there are some subgenii converts to the church here, the oral church, who are taping this show. Well, as a result of last week's show, which was an unsupported, unwarranted, and secretive taping of a secret council of 10 meeting that I was at, which I managed to broadcast thanks to you, Mike, timed it perfectly, even though I made the wrong phone call. We realized the opportunities we broadcast here in Toronto. That secret council of meeting, secret council of 10, really now council of 8, as you notice the hostage taking in Atlanta, Georgia, that's a whole operation set up by two former members of the Council of Ten, you know, just demanded my attention for the week. Can I get ready? It just hijacked the whole area, the airwaves, right? Meanwhile, deaths are piling up in Europe due to Irangate implications over there. Now, the Secret Council of Ten will not tolerate any broadcasting or taping of their meetings. So our main man back here, or woman, we're not sure what it is, a subgenius definitely, was taping this, had it, and then it got erased. Disappeared, gone. Now, you know the Secret Council 10 with their magnificent satellite surveillance can find that tape and erase it. But that's because he was directly connected with me. Now, if we can find somebody who they're not sure of, recent converts, haven't been registered in the sort of the central data bank of the Secret Council, then if we have somebody out there, we're pleading now, that we need records and proof that we broadcast a Secret Council 10. And I'm sure someone out there taped the show last week. If they could call Mike today sometime or next week or in 6 months, let us know you have it, and we'll arrange very careful negotiations to have a dub of it, at least.
So you're looking for a listener who may tape the Subgenius program, who taped specifically last week's program,
yes,
when you were calling from somewhere out there.
22,000 miles above sea level.
Right. And if they have a document of that that particular program, to give us a call today at 595-1655 or any time in the future.
Yes.
Any time before our mandate is up.
Rest our glands here about this issue, because that was unprecedented for me to sneak in. As you know, I got beat up and was killed, but I was managed to communicate via my astral body, and now I'm back holistically in the body, reconstituted thanks to Dr. Beter's organic robotoid technology.
Okay.
All right. Now, that meeting was significant, and but my mind is on another matter. I'll get to that in a minute. Through my sources here in Toronto, when I got back, I found out people that my co-host here, Mike Dyer, was interviewed by Waxworks, Music Works magazine. All right. Now, I don't know who interviewed him, but I certainly have contacts with the highest levels of the editorial staff, and they informed me of the transcript of what Mike said. And we have to confront Mike here a little bit, because he made the... Well, let's find out what his motive was. He made this statement that when he heard the Subgenius tapes themselves, which we all know here are my archives ripped off and edited badly and erroneously, that when Mike heard those tapes, he was converted immediately. Now, Mike, this article will be coming out soon. You'll be making this statement in that print medium of Music Works. Could you explain to me why you claim that the tapes converted you?
No, that's a lie, and I at this point would rather not say anything. I suggest perhaps you talk to my lawyer about this.
Well, I am your lawyer, Mike.
No, you're not.
Come on, Mike. While on air, I am every function that anybody could have.
This is a very delicate issue, Bob. I'd rather not bring it up right now. I have been quoted and misquoted quite a few times in the press, and so I think I don't recall making that statement. I think maybe we'd better wait and see what happens when the medical team comes.
Oh, yeah, just like you don't recall, right? You don't recall.
I don't recall. I'm very much influenced by Oliver North.
Well, let's say that it does come out.
Yeah.
Do you have, if that is what's said in the magazine, what would you say about that?
I don't recall what I said. I was in a state of...
No, if you said what I just said.
Delirium.
Not that you said it, but if you said that, well, how would you rationalize that? What would you... Have you got an alibi right now?
So this is strictly a hypothetical question.
Yes, hypothetical at this point.
So you're asking me if... Now, you're claiming that I said when I heard the tapes, I was converted immediately.
By the Reverend Stang's
tapes.
By me on air, which you've testified to many times.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, what would I say? How would I get out of that?
Yeah.
Maybe I was talking about audio in a much... We were talking a lot about audio, and perhaps I was talking about audio in a much broader scope, and that I was not swayed to the church, per se, but to... what the Subgenius was doing as a form of audio art, and it is a form of audio art.
Oh, yes, yes.
And maybe that's what I meant, Bob. Gee, I don't know.
Oh, you mean in your role as Mike Dyer in dealing with cassette art?
Yeah.
You were converted not to the Bob phenomenon within the tape, the content, but the tape art itself.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. No. Okay, we'll let you off.
We'll see. We'll wait till it comes out. And
all right, but that's a good enough alibi. All right, I was concerned. And
we'll talk about this afterwards aside. The mic's down.
All right, so I think we've cleared that up. And I think I'd like to talk about, when we come back, after we've heard the few minutes from Reverend Stang and Ivan Drummond. No, it's Reverend Ivan Strang. What is it? Drummond? It's been a couple of weeks. I can't remember.
Philo Drummond.
Philo Drummond, yes. And Dr. Ivan Stang. If we hear from them, I'd like to do a little more dialogue on what the heck did I mean about a month ago, when I said the Bob is a collective mantra that deals with the problem of language. All right?
And will you bring up Allen Ginsberg's name into this?
Yes, of course.
Okay. So back to Subgenius tape. What's the tape called? It's an awfully long... I'll take it out.
Yeah, read it. It's a very good title.
This is Church of the Subgenius tape. Forbidden Sacred Wisdom tape number one. The Secrets of Ni-Gi. Is that how you pronounce it?
Ni-Gi-Hi.
The Dark Side of Bob. Philosophically terrifying. God has been misquoted for 5,000 years. His actual words may disturb you. Well, this sounds like a tape that, unlike which we've never heard.
That's right. This is going to talk about a part of myself that we've only heard on CKLN.
The Dark Side.
this tape. Others, however, believe that when one follows me for a while, one learns some of the more complex nature of Bob himself.
I can't take this. Okay,
let's go. There's nothing more needy than Reverend Stang trying to be profound, try to sound like me. I mean, don't talk about cartoon replica. All right.
You found that disturbing.
That last bit where he can try to come on with the force of my voice and he can't do it.
No.
So cut that.
And that cheap drum machine in the background. It doesn't slice it, Bob.
I know. Let's get back to work here. Was there anything the collective mantra, but there was something... Oh, yeah, okay. Mike, what do you recall I said was the reason or the explanation of Bob as a collective mantra? Do you recall that?
Offhand, no. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Refresh me, Bob.
You're not going to give me any input? Just say anything. You know, what do you think it might, I might have been trying to say?
That, we exist in outer space.
Oh, jeez. Enough said. You're not even close. Okay.
This is an electric environment?
Yeah. Code word. Very good, Mike.
I can always throw out those safe words.
Yeah. The electric environment. Okay, now, you see, we're talking about Bob and praising Bob and worshiping him, yet Bob at the same time gives you complete freedom to screw up or evolve any way you want to. So what is the boundary line? How can you, why use the word Bob? Well, first of all, it's not a word. Only when you use your mouth does it sound like a word. In other words, when you use the verbal medium, spoken language. But as we've talked about many times, there are many other languages, many other environments with linguistic and grammatical characteristics. All right? And I like to stress the electric language because that is the language we're involved in right now for the last 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if the previous language of print culture created a matching syndrome, right, where you tried to match the truth within yourself with an outer reality, then the converse, the opposite has happened. You're yawning, Mike. Okay. The opposite is the electric environment, which creates a dynamic of making. Popular terms, hallucinating. But it doesn't mean hallucinating in the sense of drugs. It means total sensory synesthesia. Not original sin, but very close. Synesthesia, the interplay of all the senses, giving full opportunity to create their own spaces. And the old dynamic of interpretation of Bob as a collective mantra would be to match. In other words, you would be subjected to Bob's pattern, right? Now, the making effect of the electric language means that Bob allows you to create your own space, just like every one of our senses now can operate on any scale of sensory exploration. Our senses can explore themselves infinitely and eternally, right? Under electric conditions. Now, if we turned off the electric environment, it wouldn't happen anymore. All right, we go back to matching or back to pre-literate to acoustic, which comes around to why. Now, this leap may be too much for thinks and even subgenius to follow, but language is the most involving. The verbal medium is the most involving medium available. And that's why Bob is the strongest when he's talking, because it's the only way to take the verbal archetype, inject it into the electric environment, and create comprehensive awareness. And the comprehensive awareness, which I stressed before, is using both your matching faculties, the matching bias, and the making bias. Now, how do you do that? Well, you operate in the corpus callosum, a part of the brain that's between the left and right hemisphere, that is the interplay material between the two hemispheres. So, since we've extended these characteristics of our central nervous system collectively as archetypes, post-union archetypes, archetypes of the collective unconscious, Bob is a means of interplay
bother the collective mantra is that operation comprehensively in the interval between matching and making. Stressing making, because that is more predominant than the electric effect. Now, I'm being very clear today. I'm hearing myself as I talk here. A lot of people are finally getting what I'm talking about. So Bob is a collective mantra. It is a verbal retrieval when spoken, but refers to all the collective archetypes interacting, merging, retrieving, procreating simultaneously. And the only way the mouth can talk about that is to say Bob. You follow me there, don't you?
So Bob, the word Bob becomes a mantra of sorts.
It becomes a way of talking about what you want to impose on people at the same time as you want to create the freedom for them to avoid your imposition. All right? So when we talk about Bob, it is an interval gesture, a gesture of the interval. It makes sense, doesn't it?
I have to think about it. You're sounding more and more, when you speak, especially when you use that sultry tone again of yours. You don't often drop down to the sultry tone, and I know a lot of people at home are perhaps quite excited right now.
Yes.
Because you're using that tone. You're also sounding more and more like a politician, too.
Yes.
You are making that plea to garner approval and to garner support. Any comments on that?
Well, that perfectly brings up the secret council plan, because the prime motive of the operation here in Toronto, which is being broadcast throughout the universe under electric conditions, is to get me in the chairperson position of the Secret Council of Ten. And that election for that position is coming up. And as you heard last week, the meeting was about determining the phone number that all those who know can phone in and register their vote. Now, I would prefer them to vote for me, because I'm the only one who can handle it, and it's already predetermined that I will win that election. But we have to go through the motions. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
And so you're just so inflated, Mike, because music works. It's going to print you in the visual medium. I mean, you know, but we can correct that, right? I mean, no problem. Back to the topic. That phone number...
602, actually.
All right. That phone number will be given out at some point between now and Nagihi's demise, all right, which was not explained on the tape, which is why it's a dupe tape. When that number is given, you have to phone immediately, because that election will only happen in a short span of time. And if we can get enough subgenii, then we will be able to praise Bob as a fact.
But after all, this is space, and space is just an illusion, isn't it?
No, this is many spaces. You failed there. Okay, so let's end the show. We'll continue next week.
Praise God.
Maybe.